GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
You know what's really exciting to me is when I get up in the morning and I open the Word and I have a 50% chance to understand what is happening for the first time in my life. Because many people, we serve the Lord and we never understand the parables. We never understand a lot of things. But when you start going back to the beginning, like John says, in the beginning was the Word. In Hebrews, Bereshit bara. Bereshit bara Elohim et. It's Genesis 1:1. It's giving you a reference to Genesis 1:1. You know, so I did that. I went back to the beginning, and there it reveals to us the whole plan of restoration, salvation, reconciliation, and all those things. Anyway, I got to move on. This is exciting to me. This is a pattern that I want you to look at from now on. By the way, Messiah has to fulfill this. You declare a king or a leader. Then they have to wage war against the Amalek. Mm-hmm. And then the temple needs to be built. Mm-hmm. Now, let me take you to recent history. Mm-hmm. 1948. Mm-hmm. The state of Israel was declared.
Right.
Ben-Gurion was made the leader, prime minister. Immediately after that, Psalms 83 came to be about. The 10 nations that wanted to kill the Israelites in 1948. And then they wanted to take the Temple Mount, but they couldn't. Remember that? Mm-hmm. They tried to follow the whole procedure that is already in the Bible, but yet it was a secular government. Uh-huh. That's how I know we're in the last days.
Yeah.
Israel becomes a nation. By the way, do you know Israel came back to the land and was declared a nation in 1948? Do you know that's when Abraham was born?
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
It's amazing.
The blessing is back. So guess what? If the blessing is back in the land, who is going to come to take away the blessing?
The Amalekites.
The sons of Amalek, which are the sons of Eliphaz, which is Esau. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. The grandson is doing the duty of the grandfather. Mm-hmm. You know. So now we're going to follow that pattern. Mm. In the Beseder, it's in order, the Talmud. It's a good point of reference. The Talmud in the tractate Sanhedrin 20b, it clarifies the process of the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. It states that the nation of Israel is commanded to perform three commandments sequentially after they occupy the land of Israel. First, they are to appoint a king. Second, they are to eradicate the offspring of Amalek. Mm-hmm. And third, they are to construct the Holy Temple. And you're going to see this already in Scripture. And Messiah has to fulfill that because that's the way it's got to be according to Scripture. I got a question to ask you. If all the issue and the struggle begin in the Middle East where we consider the promised land, why would we look towards Europe when now Islam is raising up and our attention is shifting over here? A lot of Bible prophecy teachers are changing their theology now from being Europe to being Islam. We are trying to reconsider that it's quite possible that Islam is the beast.
Like the Catholic Church and
right,
so on.
Right, exactly. Okay. By the way, they're united. They're in cahoots anyway, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because everything began in the Middle East. Yahweh doesn't change. Let me give you an example. The 10 spies brought a bad report into Israel. On that day in the history of Israel, the first temple was destroyed. The second temple was destroyed. Some of the huge massacres in the history of Israel began. The Inquisition, some of the Crusades. The Jews were taken to the Holocaust, to the gas chambers. Mm-hmm. I'm in Puerto Rico because my family got expelled from Spain on that day, the 9th of Av.
Yeah.
2 weeks from tonight.
Exactly. So we have to understand that this is prophetic. Now, if that is true, that is so consistent in history, then what makes us think that he's going to change his plan of redemption?
Really?
Restoration. Sanctification, reconciliation, and prophetic picture. We have to line it up with Scripture. Mm-hmm. And I would highly recommend, you know, my brothers that are listening, come back to the Torah.
Amen.
Just come back to the Torah. The law is not bondage. He's trying to teach us his heart. He's teaching us how to come back to his holiness so he can reveal the secrets in these last days. Daniel says that in the last days the wise will understand. But Deuteronomy gives us the definition of wisdom. Tells us that the Torah is the wisdom of the people of Israel. That is your wisdom among the nations. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do.
Amen.
According to the tradition, Esau will fall by the hands of Rachel. This is very significant.
Now, Rachel?
By Rachel. Now, you're going to follow a pattern here that if you don't go back and you examine it, it makes no sense whatsoever. Let me read it again. In the Yalkut Shimoni, which is a commentary, it says, according to the tradition, Esau will fall by the hands of Rachel. Let's examine it, okay? There are four things that happen in history. One of them, Rachel, the mother of Benjamin. Then, and I'm going to explain on that. Joshua went to war against Amalek. Then you have King Saul, a Benjamite, was commanded by Yahweh to kill Agag, who was an Amalekite.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then we have Mordecai. Mm-hmm. Mordecai, from the tribe of Benjamin, was the enemy of Haman.
Yes.
An Amalekite.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, let's take the first one, Rachel, the mother of Benjamin. By the way, in Genesis chapter 33, verse 1, all the way to verse 4, you can find not only the separation of the two houses of Israel, house of Judah and house of Israel, you can also find in the time the Messiah will come, you can also find the struggle between Esau and Jacob in all those first verses. Four. Now let me read it to you. Genesis 33, 1 through 4. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. He divided the camp. Mm-hmm. You see, Yahweh is the commander of the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob is doing what a good commander would do, separating the camp. Why? Because if they would kill all the children of Leah, there would always be a remnant of Israel still present in the world. That's why the 10 tribes of Israel, when they got dispersed into Assyria, and then all over the whole world, the only lamp, according to the Bible, that was left was Judah. They were expelled to Babylon and they came back. Not all of them, but they came back. And all of a sudden now, we have the evidence for the last 2,000 years of the tribe of Judah and Levi that have been keeping the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
They have been basically the remnant that visibly you can see that they're Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they have suffered for that.
Oh, yes.
But you see, now the right time, the shofar has been blown. And now the remnant of Israel, the 10 tribes that have been scattered abroad, they're coming back.
They are.
The Moroccan Jews, the Iraqi Jews, the Iranian Jews. We have the Russian Jews. We have the Ethiopian Jews. All these people are coming back to the land since 1948. And now the Sephardic Jews.
Yes.
Spanish Jews.
Yes.
Your cameraman is a Sephardic Jew. He doesn't even know it. You know, you can tell by their names.
This part of the country is full
exactly
of Sephardic Jews.
This is the remnant that has been hidden away just like Jacob did to his family.
Mm-hmm.
To preserve the remnant. So in case Esau will kill the sons of Leah, there will always the sons of Rachel behind that will can come and reclaim the promises of Yahweh.
That's why the scripture, the promise is there. The battle between the two.
Exactly. In chapter, in verse 2 says, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. Where's Benjamin?
He hasn't been born.
He hasn't been born. Right. What happens in the third verse? And he passed over before them and bowed himself.
I think it's working.
Oh, it is? Okay, cool.
Is it working?
Yeah, I got it there now. And he bowed himself to the ground.
Not working.
That's okay. And he passed over before them and he bowed himself to the ground seven times. Oh, this was always very intriguing to me. Why would Jacob bow himself seven times and everybody in his camp to Esau? See, every time you see the number seven in the Bible,
perfection,
pay attention.
Yeah.
Because that is basically the seal of Yahweh that is prophetic that it will come to fruition.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's prophetic.
Uh-huh.
That's his signature all over the text. Says, until he came near his brother. Okay, so Rachel, Benjamin has not been born yet. So Benjamin never bowed down to Esau.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now what it is Benjamin, because he was not born, he didn't bow down to Esau. So therefore, it will come by the hand of Rachel. By Rachel, the destruction of Esau. Because Yeshua, isn't he the son of the right hand? Benjamin?
Yes.
Didn't Mordecai, a Benjamite, did not bow down to Amalek, to Haman?
That's right.
You see the patterns?
Mm-hmm.
So isn't Saul, King Saul, a Benjamite?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't fulfill his prophetic call.
Right.
To kill the Amalek.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, verse 4 is very important. And Esau ran to meet him, Jacob, and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Oh, what a beautiful reunion, right? So you think. Until you look in the Hebrew text, you have the Tanakh right here. And in the Tanakh, you can see it. You can see that in the word kiss in Hebrew, there are six dots above the word in Hebrew that means kiss. The rabbis and the scribes were trying to send a message. That was basically that Esau wanted to bite him, kill him. That's really what it means. It was a kiss of death. That's why Jacob decided, you go your way, I'll go to East Sukkot. I'm going to go my way. Interesting, isn't it? So that was not a very, it seems like a reunion, but it was not a really pleasant reunion. Jacob basically said, you know, I'm going to go my way because I don't think this guy really kissed me for real. He just wants to kill me. Okay? So now, we have Benjamin. There it is. Beautiful. We have Benjamin. Already read you that on Genesis. Now let's go to Joshua. Joshua went to war against Amalek. Now this is very important because it's prophetic to the Messiah too. Joshua is a type and shadow Messiah. Yeah. Now, Exodus 17 says, and he called the name place Mazah and Meribah. The word Meribah has a root word that means bitter. Okay? Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted Yahweh, saying, is Yahweh among us or not? By the way, this is a pattern. Every time Israel disobeys, he raises up an adversary. Look what happened. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Elohim in my hand. Now, and Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Remember, Yeshua's coming with a sword.
Yes.
Okay? And Yahweh said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yahushua. For I will, listen to this, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, the one who's speaking here is Yahweh. He is the one who's going to put out the remembrance of Amalek. And it says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nisi, our banner. Now, for he said, because Yah has sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So this has nothing to do with United States. This has nothing to do. I don't care how much you pray. It's not going to change the situation. The fact is that Islam has raising up as an adversary to Israel. So we can call upon the name of Yahweh and repent. So our Redeemer can come and restore his bride.
Who's the we here?
Israel, anybody who's confessed Yeshua with their mouth.
Okay, the Zionist Christians too.
By the way, did you know that if you confess, the word confess there in Greek is homologeo? And one of the definitions for that word is covenant. So you've come into covenant.
Yeah.
That's why Ephesians 2 says that you're now part of the commonwealth of Israel. So if you're a part of the commonwealth of Israel, get used to it, because now you're a target.
You are.
Because you're part of the
promise.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You see?
Amen.
So what a blessing to be part of the promise.
Amen.
You know, whether you're a Jew or a former Gentile. Can I make a suggestion? Don't call yourselves Gentiles. Goy. The word goy in Hebrew means heathen. Adulterer, idolater, you know, so Yahweh took us from adulterers, idolaters, heathens, and he changed our name to now Israel, so we can have a blessing, so we can have an inheritance.
Yes.
So there's nothing wrong with being the chosen people of Israel.
Amen.
Whether you were a former Gentile and you're now grafted in, oh Israel, I'm a Jew, welcome to the family. As long as we walk in the same commandments, we are brothers. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile in regards to what Paul was saying.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. King Saul, the Benjamite, was commanded by Yahweh to kill Agag. Now, to me, this was very, very intriguing from the beginning. It said, if the promise is that Judah was supposed to be the kingdom to Judah, okay, then how come he allows Israel to choose a Benjamite?
At the beginning, I've always wondered that.
Right, well, it's prophetic. You know, it's prophetic. Yes, the children of Israel rejected Yahweh and they chose a man, but he allowed it to continue a prophecy, the whole thing. Now, it means that every king of Israel has to fight Amalek. That means that David had to fight Amalek. That means Yeshua has to fight Amalek. If not, he's not fulfilling what has been established in the scriptures. That's why I know, according to scripture, that it has to be Islam that I consider the beast. Because if Islam changed their name to Islam now, but all the main players, it's like a movie, you know, you watch a movie, and then you see the sequel. It's the same storyline with different characters. The names may be different, but the storyline is the same. That's what Islam is all about. There's nothing new. And I'm going to show you this right here. So when you go to Samuel 15 verse 1, and Samuel said unto Saul, Yahweh has sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, very important, Yahweh of hosts, because now he's the commander of the hosts. Okay, it's an attribute of you know, justice and war. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Mm-hmm. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, and sheep, camel, and donkey. And that sounds so harsh. It's prophetic. Those people want no peace. They want to kill us. And I always tell people this, and again, remember, and I want to make a disclaimer so you know, you understand my heart. If there is a person who is an Arab descent or the Middle Eastern descent who is not a Muslim, yes, we can fellowship. We can have a good time. We can. You go to my house for lunch. We can be friends. And if there's a former Muslim who now has accepted Yahweh and accepted the Torah and accepted the Messiah, mm-hmm. we are brothers. Mm-hmm. But a Muslim does not mix. Water does not mix with oil. I cannot be your friend because you, according to the Quran, you're trying to kill me. Mm-hmm. And according to Scripture, follows the same precedent. Mm-hmm. Balaam. Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, but he gave them advice how to do it. Hey, you know, send you the Midianite woman and go have sex with them and they will worship your gods. And that's exactly how to make them fall. It's always the same players. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So Mordecai from the tribe of Benjamin was an enemy of Haman, which is an Amalekite. So here we see Mordecai, they call him a Jew, but he came from the tribe of Benjamin, means son of the right hand. Haman means Amalek, okay, Esau and Ishmael, okay, and then Persia. This is really interesting. See, people don't understand that what is happening in Iran right now is nothing new. Do you know that Iranians are not really Arabs?
Right.
They're Muslim in religion, but they're Persians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't even speak the same language.
Mm-hmm. Don't call one of them an Arab either.
Oh, they get really upset. Yeah. But they share the same religion. But then what's interesting is the whole story of Esther happened because the children of Israel, the temple was being rebuilt. And the children of Israel, they chose not to come back to the land. They chose to stay behind in the richest of Persia mm-hmm. and the great kingdom at the time. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? He raised up an adversary so everybody will call upon the name of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And it happened because one guy did not bend down to Amalek and mm-hmm. Haman. Mm-hmm. That was Mordecai, who's a Benjamite,
yeah.
a son of Rachel,
yeah.
who refused to bow down to the enemy. So that's why Messiah sounds as a son of Joseph. Uh-huh. Okay, he did not bow down to Rome.
Right.
And then you have Yeshua as a son of David. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have the whole type and shadow there, the first mm-hmm. and second coming. Now, David's battle against Amalek, very significant, because now David was a king and he had to battle against Amalek too. Now, in 1 Samuel 27:8 says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gizrites and the Amalekites. See, if that was not there, then I know David was not really a true king of Israel mm-hmm. because every king of Israel have to fight against the Amalekites. Mm-hmm. For those nations were of all in the inhabitants of the land, and thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. Now, what's really intriguing is this verse. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. Okay, and David rescued his two wives. But wait a minute. If you read the first part of the verse, it's very clear that he recovered all. That includes his two wives, right? Mm-hmm. Why does he have to make mention of his two wives?
If he got it. Yeah.
If he got everything.
Yeah.
Can I propose to you that could be a hidden message, prophetic message within that text? David is the type of child of Messiah. And we have the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the two sisters.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it talks about, you know, the two brothers. Mm-hmm. There's always a type of shadow. Could it be that, I'm not saying that, you know, Yahweh has two wives. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that the kingdom was divided in two. You follow what I mean? So could it be that this is a type of shadow of the end restoration, that when the Yeshua will come as the son of David, will come to wage war against Amalek, and then he will restore the two houses of Israel and all of you that are grafted mm-hmm. into us. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Do you think that will make sense?
Yes, it makes
okay.
sense.
Okay. I'm glad you like that.
I like that.
Okay, so now the king Messiah will fight Amalek. Okay? Mm-hmm. The king the Messiah will fight Amalek. Now, in Numbers 24:17, and this is very intriguing because I read this in the Torah portion last week, and I know this is a prophetic verse about Mashiach, but it never dawned on me until I read the whole thing that it has to be, and this is how I know that this is a prophetic about the Messiah. Listen, I see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not night. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Okay, it doesn't say Europe and Rome.
That's right.
It says Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth the city. Now, what's interesting is, in the Targums are the Aramaic commentaries to the Torah. Oh, they're actually Torah, but they're in Aramaic, and they used to read the Torah in the synagogues on Shabbat, and then they will bring out the Targums and basically give the understanding to the Torah portions in the Aramaic too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they read it this way, that same verse, they read it this way. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not night. When a king shall arise out of Jacob, and the Messiah, okay, be anointed from Israel, he slay the prince of Moab. I'm going to go all the way towards the bottom now, to the bottom, okay? And it says, Amalek was the beginning of the wars of Israel, but in the end, he shall perish forever. This verse is basically telling us that it's only the Messiah who's going to do the final battle, and he's the one who's going to declare everything back to the original state.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one. Joshua didn't do it. Saul didn't do it. David didn't finish the whole thing. And that means the Messiah, if we know and we believe Yeshua is the Messiah, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But you see, he has to fulfill this prophecy.
Sure.
This is how you know the difference between the true Jewish Messiah promised in scriptures and the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist.
Mm.
If the Antichrist goes in cahoots with the Islamic countries, he is not the true Messiah of Israel.
Amen.
But if the Messiah comes in and destroys the Amalekites, the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, who are within Islam, he is the true Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
How do you see the Messiah doing this? Is it going to be with the help of the IDF, or is it going to just be pure God? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be a combination of both.
Do you?
Because Yahweh uses the physical to establish the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't change. Mm-hmm. See, Israel is the smallest nation, one of the smallest nations, yet the army is one of the most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. The whole scenario, all of the Middle East is against Israel in 1948 and again in 1967. You know that within 3 hours, they destroyed all of the planes from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
Syria, and Lebanon
mm-hmm.
in 1967?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It was amazing.
So therefore, you have to say, you know, we are more powerful than them, but yet we can never beat them. Wait a minute. Who is their God? It's not Allah. You see what I mean?
That's right.
It cannot be Allah.
Uh-huh.
It's Yahweh Sabaoth, because he is the creator and he is the Lord of the host.
Amen.
And you know what? When you're dealing with Yahweh, you better pack a lunch and you better eat it quick, because you cannot fight against him. So I believe that he will use the physical also to bring forth the spiritual. I believe that, my opinion, now this is the gospel according to Rico now, okay?
Okay.
I believe that the battle will begin with the IDF. But then we're going to see pending loss. It going to seems like we lost. And then there comes the Redeemer, mm-hmm. and he mm-hmm. takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, Israel has to see that they cannot do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They have to also look up. They got to look up and say, you know, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We teshuvah, we repent. When we start looking up and repenting, that's when Messiah comes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's when they'll accept the Messiah, because it's looking up.
Right. And says every knee shall bow.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Israel disobeys the Torah, okay, the children of Edom becomes an adversary. Okay. And we're going to see it in scripture now. In 1 Kings 11:11, wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant. This happened during the time of Solomon. Okay? Notwithstanding in your days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy sons. And that truly happened.
Yes, it did.
You know, Jeroboam and Rehoboam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Yerushalayim's sake, which I have chosen. So, by the way, this is how we know
mm-hmm.
who's back in the land right now. It's not all of Israel. Because I'm here, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Judah is back in the land.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that tribe came back to the land fulfilling this prophecy and this promise. Mm-hmm. Okay? And listen to this one. This is verse 14. This is the kicker. Okay? It says, and Yahweh stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king of the king's seed in Edom. Notice, it uses the word seed. Okay? But yeah. He uses an Edomite to bring forth their what? Their repentance. Mm-hmm. Because Israel disobeys the Torah and we have gone into idolatry.
Yeah.
Now, this is a pattern that we're going to see through the whole scripture now. Now, remember that Amalek comes from Esau. He's the grandson of Esau. Is this making sense to you guys?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
It's exciting.
I'm not a prophecy teacher. And it's funny. I got some of my friends that are prophecy teachers. And, you know, they look at me and say, you're not a prophecy teacher. You're just a Torah teacher. I say, well, everything comes from the prophets and the Torah.
Yes, it does.
But I will never call myself a prophecy teacher because the true prophet is Messiah. I'm just repeating what is already in the scriptures. Uh-huh. I'm just a servant, just like you,
you know?
That's right. Bringing forth the word. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. And remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And I'll see you next time. Shalom.
Order your copy today from the GLC Bookstore by calling the number on your screen. Please include the program number when ordering.